This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I have a question for you today. Are you a media maverick? Are you powerful and dynamic in media? Or do you just wish you were? The thing that we've learned is that more than anything else, we have to embrace 100% of who we are and then share that uniquely with the world, openly, authentically, and honestly. It is in that sharing that we then truly become dynamically effective in media, whether that be radio, television, even in print. The fact of the matter is, if you think back about some of the favorite books that you've read, I'm not talking about, you know, like Terry Brooks fiction books or things like that. I'm talking about books that have a point, nonfiction learning help books. Even in that media, the thing that really appeals to us is when we feel like that person is speaking directly to us. It's from that authentic, genuine place, from the sharing of our real stories, that you really, truly get to the place where you can be a media maverick. And so today, I am joined with an awesome guest, a fellow pastor's kid, and we're going to share some stories with you today. And along the lines, we're going to teach you how to be a media maverick.
Join me in welcoming TJ Mercer. Hi, TJ. How you doing today?
Hey, Steve, and every thriving entrepreneur out there. Thank you so much for letting me come play with you.
Oh, we're so glad to have you here today. I've been looking forward to this ever since Kathy said you would be on the show. So
yeah,
I'm excited
too.
About it.
me too.
So TJ, for people who don't have a Kathy in their life to tell them all about you, tell us a little bit about you and what you've done thus far in your life.
Okay, so I am a retired award-winning television editor out of Hollywood. So I've worked on some of the biggest shows on television, including like Extra, The Tonight Show, The Bachelor, Swamp People, R&B Divas, and Bar Rescue. And then I spent time in the DVD and publicity genre for the film industry, where my credits there include things like Shrek, The Chronicles of Narnia, Cinderella, Cars, Incredibles. And then about a year ago, God told me it was time to retire. So that kind of threw me for a loop. And at the age of 42, after 20 years, I walked out of television, and I now use all of that expertise to teach authors and experts and coaches and entrepreneurs how to leverage the media and how to book themselves on television, how to do it, how to nail the segment, and you can do it without having a publicist and without being a celebrity. And I freaking love what I do now. I love it, Steve. Mm.
You know, it is so important to be able to find our passion and actually live it, as opposed to, hating life every day.
Right. I for 20 years, and that's why I was just talking to a friend right before this interview, and I was telling her that when I was led to retire last year, I didn't know what I was going to be doing. I just, it was clear that God was saying, it's time, your season of television on this level was over. And it wasn't like I left a career that I was unhappy with. I still loved going to work every day. But I had her laughing, my friend laughing, when I told her, like, I probably wouldn't have whined and moaned and groaned had he told me, God had told me I would be this happy of doing this. Because, you know, I am a person who, they call me the world's greatest hugger, and I love hugging people. So what I get to do now in the world is kind of giving my clients and my students, of my company is called Media Mavericks Academy, I get to virtually hug them and help them pursue their dreams.
Mm. So tell us about it. What is a media maverick versus, you know, a media wannabe or somebody that just thinks they're in media?
Yeah. So I have like four pieces of criteria that really distinguishes the difference between a person who's a media wannabe and a media maverick. And this is my definition because I like working with heart-centered authors and experts and entrepreneurs. So a media wannabe will show up and do an interview, and they're there to promote their book, promote their, you know, clothing line, promote their message. But a media maverick shows up to every interview to serve, right, Steve? They have to serve, especially if you're going to be one of my clients or students. You have to have a heart of service. And then number two is a media wannabe shows up only tuned to WIIFME, what's in it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas a media maverick shows up tuned in to WIIFTV or TL or TR, what's in it for the viewer, what's in it for the listener, what's in it for the reader. And I'm sure, Steve, you can you know, back me up on this because when you asked me about doing the interview, what was the first question I sent to you? What will serve your listeners, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when I show up, my ego doesn't show up. My heart shows up to help those entrepreneurs who are, you know, want to be in the media. So that's the second criteria. The third one is a media wannabe shows up with no strategy at all. But a media maverick knows to show up with a strategy so that they can actually control their segment in a respectful way. Because especially when you're doing television, you only have 3 to 5 minutes. And so with 3 to 5 minutes that you still want to get that viewer from the TV screen to your website. So you have to go in with a strategy. So that's number three. And number four is a media wannabe actually shows up to have an interview. A media maverick is going to show up and have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So, Steve, even right now with you, I don't consider this as an interview. I consider it just two people talking where a whole other bunch of people is going to get to eavesdrop. It's just a conversation. It's a back and forth conversation that is just two human beings connecting for this space of time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, wow. We could take all of those four parts and break them down and spend a whole hour on each one.
I know.
It's awesome, basically. You know, the one you can add to your list.
Right.
If you want. I mean, not like you need a longer list, but is a media maverick is the kind of person where when you come to the end of the interview, you're like, wow, where did the hour go? Whereas
yes.
a media wannabe is the kind of person where before you get to the first commercial break, you're trying to figure out how you're going to fill a whole hour with content.
You got four more commercial breaks to get through. How are you going to drag it out? I love the way you put that. And if I may even elaborate on that, I tell my maverick, Steve, I tell them that I want your personality to show up first. So, in essence, you are a dentist who's just amazing. But when you show up and have a conversation with Steve, you are showing up as the person who happens to be a dentist. Like, I don't want to be able to just have a conversation off TV or off the air with you. You just happen to have an expertise that I'm now going to share with my audience. That's how my media maps need to have the conversation flow. That it just needs to be, you know, something that you don't want, like you said, you don't want the conversation to end.
Mm, yeah. Well, and the amazing part about it is, I remember way back in the early days when I started in radio. Should I say how long ago that was?
You could. I'm proud to be 43, so I don't have a problem with saying my age. So because we're seasoned, Steve. We're seasoned.
Yeah, I'm actually 49 now. I'm living my last year of my 40s. So
there you go. You're seasoned. You just get better with time.
And I remember back in college, my freshman year of college, very, very small school. So literally my best friend was the general manager for the radio station. It was really easy to get a job, and it didn't pay anything anyway. So I remember how short a 3 to 5 minute song sounded then.
Yeah.
You were just frantic. You know what I mean? That's back in the day when, you know, there weren't CDs. And in fact, all the music was off of albums. You know what I mean? There wasn't any shortcuts. You had to know how to keep an album and, you know, on a particular song on a whole album that has, you know, whatever, 13 songs on it or whatever. Short was 3 minutes when I first started. It was like, I'm not going to get through this in 3 minutes and have another song. Mm-hmm. You know, and then after a couple of years of doing it, it was like, I remember my good friend Alice D. Evans, who still works at WFLT Radio in Flint, Michigan. Amazing lady. And her favorite phrase is, let me see here. and you know, I remember, you know, we got to the place where most of the show was the music playing and her and I having fun conversations about each other's lives, you know? And, now granted, I had an advantage. It was a black gospel radio station. And I want to thank everybody that's an artist in the black gospel industry.
You just can't dive past that. How in the world did you end up at a black gospel radio station? Because I'm taking the position of host now. Your listeners are going to want to know. Your listeners are going to want to know, Steve, how in the world did you end up at a black gospel radio station?
So WFLT Radio was originally WAMM Radio, which is the radio station that Casey Kasem got his very, very first start on. And then he went to Detroit and became, you know, Casey Kasem. WAMM went bankrupt, but the owner kept it. And in the receivership, he turned it into a Christian radio station because he could pay Christians less. I mean, it literally says that in the paperwork. I can hire non-professionals and pay them less. And I started working there. And because I had a technical background in music and in audio, I was asked to be the board op for Alice. Alice is a blind person. And the gentleman that owned the station, Alice is a Spec Howard graduate, okay? And I'm sure you know what Spec Howard is, but for the listeners who don't know, Spec Howard is probably the largest, most respected radio training institution, or at least it was in the 80s. I don't know these days. You know, that you can go to. She was a graduate of Spec Howard. But he didn't believe that she could run her own board because she was blind, you know, and so blind people can't do that, you know? You know, but for legal reasons, he had to offer her a job. And so I was running the board for her, and she ran, even though it was a contemporary Christian radio station at the time, she ran a 7 to midnight show that, you know, that was black gospel. And they did it because Flint, Michigan, for those of you that know the demographic of Flint, Michigan is very, very urban in the center of it and very high-end GM executives in the outer rim. And the radio station at sundown powered down. And that doesn't mean, it powered down to almost no output, like, you know, and so it only reached the downtown section of town after dark.
Okay.
And so to have music that anybody would listen to, they hired Alice and they played back black gospel after dark, you know, and to the urban community, you know, and I was working as their board op. It did so well that actually a conglomeration of churches bought the station
and turned it
into a completely black gospel radio station. And Alice and I were the only two employees that stayed at that point with the company.
And I kind of got
snuck in under, you know, under her coat or whatever, you know, because I was her board op before they bought it. And so I just stayed her board op after they did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But so.
That's fascinating, Steve.
And that was back in 1986. Long time ago.
And, yeah.
And yeah, so, you know, we were working in, you know, I was working in the radio station and doing that. And I remember we had great conversations because, like you said, thanks to all gospel musicians, because their songs tend to be a little bit longer. They tend to be a little bit better to listen to, honestly, I think, than a lot of the contemporary Christian, especially the mid-80s contemporary Christian, you know, adult contemporary Christian music was. And we could talk for hours about the whole, you know, that was when Stryper was coming. Well, you know, that was when Stryper was coming out, and there was the, you know, the one group of people that was like, oh, that's the devil's music. And, you know, the other group that was listening to Amy Grant, you know, and so there was a real divide in the Christian music industry. Whereas Black Gospel, you know, we got to listen to Aretha Franklin right alongside of, you know, like the Wyans brothers.
The Wyman.
Like that. So.
Wow. Didn't know that about you, Steve.
TJ and I have some more exciting stories about our lives that we're going to share with you. And don't worry, we're going to tie this all into how you can be a media maverick. We'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with TJ Mercer. We are talking to you today about being a media maverick. We know that you want to be dynamic on camera and as a person who's being interviewed. And we're giving you some really deep insider secrets to that. The number one thing is you have to be genuinely, authentically you. So TJ.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, that 3 to 5 minutes in a video interview, somebody that doesn't know what they're doing on media, 5 minutes is going to be gone before they ever said anything of value.
Right. And they won't consider that you don't have time to ramble for 30 to 45 seconds on an answer. Yeah. Not if you really are, you know, trying to achieve the goal of getting the viewer. And one of the things I also teach mavericks, and when they become my students and clients, is the four I's of the trajectory of actually becoming a maverick. And you can find these on my website at iseemeontv.com. But the four I's is, I only work with people of integrity. That's the first thing. But from integrity is impact. And the impact comes in when you are nailing those 3 to 5 minutes. Because if you actually have impact, that viewer is going to go to your website where you now can influence them. So that's the third I, influence. So I can influence you by continuing the conversation through my emails, through my videos that I send. And then I'm actually earning your trust. So once I've earned your trust, I then can leverage that into income. And so then you trust me enough, so then when I offer something for sale, whether it's my book or it's my coaching program or if it's, you know, a product that you may have, there's a trust factor there. So you've gone from integrity to impact to influence to income.
It reminds me, everything reminds me of a story. I forgot the comedian that said, and that reminds me of a story.
I'm glad to know it ain't just me, because that's true. Like, you can read a scripture, and I'd be like, okay, so that reminds me of that time when, you know, so good. I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because there are so many times when what we want to be is like the little kid who went home after church and told his parents that what he wanted to be when he grew up was a return missionary.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to go and get bug bites. And, you know, we've all seen Survivor, so we know how awful it can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody wants to come back and, you know, have their life be about potlucks and love offerings. And we've just totally lost everybody that's never gone to church.
So maybe you should explain it to them, Steve, so that we don't lose them, because we never want to leave our audience. So explain to them the potlucks and love offerings.
Okay, so a missionary, you know, is somebody that goes to a foreign country and, you know, is talking about Jesus or is running a school or what have you. Many, many different jobs that missionaries can do in a foreign country. And when they come back, they are going to share with the people who sponsored them while they were there what happened. And so you go back around to the churches that gave money to help you be able to afford to live over there. And especially the travel is really expensive. And they come back and they share the stories and they're talking about all of that. And that's what the whole church service usually is when the missionary comes to visit is, you know, well, these days it's a PowerPoint presentation, but back in the day it would have been like a slideshow presentation of, you know, of the pictures of all the little kids and all of the, you know, cool things that you were able to do. You know, maybe they built a new fence or a new schoolhouse or those kind of things, and things that we can all celebrate together, you know, because that's why we gave to the missionary to begin with. That's why we sent them to make an impact and help people's lives. And so we then get to see it. And then afterwards, you know, churches love food. Those of you that don't go to church, you may not understand this, but church people like to eat.
Yes, we do.
Church people like food. And so after church, you don't go home. You don't even go out to, you know, like McDonald's or whatever. Everybody brings food, usually in crock pots or, you know, covered dishes or stuff like that. And right after church, you know, all of the food gets laid out on the table. And there is always, I don't care how poor the church is. I mean, my dad pastored a church in Tolstoy, South Dakota. There are 90 people that live in Tolstoy, South Dakota, and there are 5 churches. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yes, you are telling the truth.
But regardless of how small the church is, there is going to be enough food to feed, well, a large village in a foreign country for a month, you know, or the average city for a day, you know, more food than any one human being should ever eat. So the table's just filled with food and that's called a potluck. I don't honestly know where the word potluck came from, but that's what we call it.
Me either.
Yeah. And so either during the potluck or during when the missionary is speaking, they'll do an offering, you know, because churches, the second only to food, the thing that churches like to do is ask for money, you know,
right,
pass the plate. And, and so they'll pass the plate, and depending on the church you're in, some of them will, do it instead of the regular offering. Some of them will do it along with their regular offering. And they'll pass the plate, and all the money that comes in that goes to the missionary, and that's called a love offering.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, between the love offering and the potluck, who wouldn't want that to be their full-time job? Just go from church to church, have people give you a check and feed you, and then want to force leftovers on you, you know, and then you move on to the next church for the next day or the next week or whatever.
Yes, I am proud to be a preacher's kid. I grew up with love offerings and potlucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, and in fact, this is going to be such a fun episode to air, because this is just going to, I'm going to change the title. I was going to call this Being a Media Maverick, but I think I'm just going to call it The Inside of Steve and TJ, you know, two pastor's kids get together and talk about what it's really like
to
grow up in church, you know.
And being in church all day.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, because people don't understand that these days, because, you know, church is like a, you go at whatever time, Saturday or Sunday morning, and you're there for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, and then you go home. I mean, it used to be you get there and there's, you know, the early service, and then there's Sunday school, and then there's the second service, and then there's, you know, the social after the second service, and then you run home, dad passes out because he's exhausted, you take a nap, you get back up, and you go back to evening
service. So you go back to church.
And then Monday is everybody's, every pastor I know has Monday off.
Just like hairstylists typically have Monday off, so do the church people. They have Mondays off. Absolutely.
I mean, it used to drive Kathy crazy when we were first together, because I have always been, you know, a like Christmas Eve shopper. You know, and I mean, who really wants to go into the mall on Christmas Eve? But it was just a habit, because what people don't understand is, going back to love offerings, normally speaking, the church will give the pastor a love offering on the last Sunday before Christmas. God forbid if Christmas is on a Sunday, because then Christmas morning can get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you don't get that check. Or the cash, or the, you know, whatever they give you, you don't get that until that last Sunday before Christmas. And if Christmas is Monday, then, you know, Sunday afternoon, instead of taking a nap, you're going to the mall, because that's the first time your family's had money to be able to buy any gifts.
Right. You bringing back memories, Steve.
Well, I'll tell you the funniest one, you know, because I'm a third generation minister, so my grandfather's a pastor too.
Okay, gotcha.
Funniest one of all, because my grandfather, you know, was very conservative, amazing man of God, read his last Bible that he had for the last decade, read it 57 times in the last decade of his life. So knew his Bible, but very conservative. So much so that when we went to visit my grandma and grandpa, we had to stop at the last rest area before grandma and grandpa's house. And, you know, and we're talking, they lived in South Dakota, and it's usually summer, you know, because of summer vacation and stuff. Stop at the last rest area before their house, change out of jeans or out of shorts, or my mom wearing jeans, into my mom wearing a dress and us wearing shorts, because you don't wear shorts at grandma and grandpa's house.
Yep. I can relate. You telling my story. I understand.
What did you find in any of the stories that TJ and I have told so far that you can relate to? What are the things that you have no idea what we were talking about that we were able to make understandable to you? Those are the kind of things that I'm hoping you're catching as we're going through this, because being a media maverick isn't some kind of secret magical formula. It's just simply bringing out all of who you uniquely are and really sharing that with the world. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and then we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with TJ Mercer, and we are talking to you today about being a media maverick. And people are now wondering, what does this have at all to do with being a thriving entrepreneur?
It's all a part of the journey. Everything that we have been through, have done, I can speak for me. What I have discovered is that everything that I have done, lived, and gone through, it comes in when I'm actually coaching my clients. You know, when I'm doing my one-on-one consults and I'm really asking my clients to, you know, and helping them come up with their message for those 3 to 5 minutes, I'm pulling on everything that I know, also because they're nervous and they're anxious. And when I tell them some of the things of what I've been through or what I've achieved or overcome, it humanizes me. And so that they then begin to realize that they don't have to be perfect either, you know, and we find a common ground. And then some of the things that, you know, I instinctually and intuitively kind of know now, it's just a result of, you know, having to deal with people who were in the church. You know, and especially when I'm dealing with things of a heart space, when I'm helping a maverick craft something that it really, you know, will take people. Like just last night, I taught a virtual masterclass called The 6 Secrets Publicists Don't Want You to Know. And one of the things that I do when I do these workshops is I craft a segment for someone. I'll choose one person to surprise them and craft their segment. So last night, I chose a person who, she had attempted, and I'm so thankful she failed at this, but she had attempted suicide more than times than she can count from the ages of 10 to 27. Just let that sink in. You know, this woman had tried to kill herself more times than she can count from the age of 10 to 27 just because of her childhood. Well, I feel like everything that I've gone through in church, of being a preacher's kid, of going through the love offers and seeing people who, you know, who really are dedicated to the call that they have on their lives, this woman now has turned her life around, and now her work is helping people come out of that dark space. And so because I feel of my sensitivity to, you know, people who are hurting or people who, you know, my connection to God, I can actually relate to her on a different level. So when, you know, when you ask, what does any of this have to do with, it's all a part of the journey and the things that I help people reveal about themselves to humanize them when they're on TV. Because like that goes back to what my answer was in an earlier question, is I want your personality to show up first. I want your humanness to show up first, your humanity to show up first, your sense of humor. And then you just happen to be a cool person who actually has this amazing expertise. Hmm. And it's all a part of your journey.
And that's really the key. I mean, in order to really thrive in life and business, and I know we throw around that thrive word, it's really a buzzword these days in lots of media. But in order to really truly have a thriving life, you have to get to a place where you embrace every last bit of you and you're willing to share it. Because
right.
Two things I know to be true. Number one is that we don't really find healing in our own lives until we share our deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah.
And number two is that there's the fear that if we share this, nobody's going to love us anymore.
Right.
The truth is that there is always people that are listening that are feeling like they're the only person who's ever been through that.
Yeah.
And then you share it and they're like, wow, somebody else has been through that in their life. And it helps them more than you'll ever know. But it only happens in those really genuine, authentic moments. When we're just, you know, kind of, you know, here's our 5 points as of how you can be, you know, the best at the best. And, you know, people kind of hear it and maybe they get it. But when we get gut level honest and we say, you know, hey, this is who I am. You know, I was a very poor kid growing up, you know, then all of a sudden people are like, oh, hey, yeah, I know what that one feels like. I can relate
mm-hmm.
to that.
Yep. That's exactly, yes. And even to connect it to entrepreneurship, you know, that sometimes as an entrepreneur, we get so lonely and it's so isolating and alone sometimes that it's refreshing when we're reminded by other, you know, more successful entrepreneurs that, you know, their businesses are thriving, when they actually take us back and remind us what they were like in year one, year two, year three. So there's that relatability, you know, that, okay, it's not so bad that I may be on the brink of losing my car in the order, in the effort towards building my dream. Okay, so I'm in good company when my credit is shot. Because I'm building my dream. Oh, I'm in good company because, you know, my credit cards are maxed out because I need to invest in coaching so I can build my dream. Because in essence, I'm keeping my eye on it gets greater later. So I'm investing in my time. It may cost me something. It may cost me some time, some energy, some friends who don't understand this journey. But when another entrepreneur comes and shows us their mistakes, their failures, how they blew it, you know, it makes us feel normal. We feel normal, like I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I share with people when I teach Mavericks is my first TV interview. And I explain to them, well, no, my first TV interview sucked. No one showed up at my book signing. No one really showed up at my speaking engagement. And it hurt. Mm-hmm. But the one thing it did was make me go back to the drawing board and figure out, what did I do wrong? And once I did that, I realized that I made the mistake that I was thinking I was a celebrity. So it's a celebrity that can get on Steve and talk all day about their new book and promote their new film or promote their new album. But an everyday person has to show up to serve. And so when I teach my Mavericks and when I teach people this, I teach from that place, and it actually humanizes them when they realize they may have done an interview and they can see where they went wrong. But me keeping that a secret and not letting someone know, you know, where I made a mistake or where I blew it, it's not serving anybody. It's not helping them.
Well, and so I challenge everybody that's listening, think about it for a minute. We all have those people that we aspire to be. When we were kids, we probably even wanted to be them, you know. These days, it might be an Oprah. It might be Lisa Nichols, Tony Robbins. You know, I mean, the list goes on. We could talk all day. And they're huge celebrities. But the reason why they appeal to us is because at some point in their career, they stepped out of celebrity and into authenticity.
You know, that's good.
Because there's a million celebrities out there, and you know, they'll make a good movie, and yay, we like them, and they'll make a bad movie, and then it's like, oh, they're horrible, you know. And it just kind of, you know, it's like the wind blowing back and forth, whether or not we like them that day. And then there are people, you know, and the list goes on. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King, Maya Angelou, you know, that day to day, time to time, book to book, speech to speech. You want to hear what they have to say because they're going to tell you the truth of themselves and they're going to bring the real. And you already feel connected to them.
Yep.
I mean, Kathy and I have a running joke that Lisa Nichols could read you her grocery list.
Yeah.
And you would be inspired. You know? And it's not because she goes and buys different things at the grocery store than the rest of us do. It's because you know that somewhere during that grocery list, she's going to tell you a story and you're going to be in tears.
Yes. And, you know, Lisa is my coach, and I've had, you know, plenty of opportunities. In fact, I'm so excited. I booked her on a radio, not a radio, I booked her on a TV interview today in Atlanta. So I'm so excited about that I finally, for everything that she's done for me and given to me, that she, you know, I was able to do this for her. And Lisa, you know, coaches from a space of she never stops coaching. I've witnessed Lisa be on stage for when I traveled with her to Kelowna, British Columbia. It was just she and myself, and I watched her, you know, give a keynote of about 90 minutes and still get back to the hotel room, and she wanted to make sure that I learned, what did I learn in being with her that weekend, just she and myself. And I'm going, okay, I'm sleepy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be coached right now. I want to go to bed, you know, and this is just how she is. But you're right. She coaches from the place, and that's maybe where I get why I coach from my mistakes as well, because she lets us in to how she blew it. She lets us in on, you know, what she did wrong so that she can save us time and energy from making those same mistakes. Of course, we're going to have our own mistakes, but at least, you know, we may not make that mistake because Lisa has already made it and we can learn from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll never forget the first time that Kathy saw Lisa. Her and Maya actually went to a conference here in Oregon, the Oregon's Women's Conference, and you know, Lisa did a keynote speech, and then she invited people back up to her room.
Uh-huh.
People hanging out the windows. I mean, there were people sitting underneath the tables and all over the bed. At least that's what I'm told. I wasn't there because I'm not invited to women's conferences. But, and Lisa talked and poured into those people until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, you know? That's Lisa.
So, you know, when you get to the place where you're willing to give up your sleep, you're willing to give up food, you know, the real basic things in life in order to help just one person take just one step further, that's when you know that you've got a message that's worth being shared.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, TJ, you know, there is so much that we haven't said about what you teach. But before we jump into a little bit of that, tell us really quickly, what would a person want to come to you to learn, and how can they find you?
Okay, so my sweet spot, Steve, is not only do I teach you how to book yourself without having a publicist, I teach you how to nail your segment, because there's no use, you know, of you getting booked if you really don't know how to leverage it. And so, for instance, one of my mavericks is actually a publicist. Why? Because she knows how to book herself. She got booked on Huffington Post Live. But when it came down to really serving and really doing a segment that would be impactful for the viewers, she didn't know how to do that, and she came to me. So I've discovered that really is what my sweet spot is. And then the other element is Patrice Washington, who is Steve Harvey's money maker. She's on his show pretty much every week. You know, she's been doing that for a while. However, when she got ready to do her book tour, I ran into her at a Lisa Nichols book signing, because Lisa's her coach as well. And I started asking her questions about, you know, preparation for her book tour, because doing live television is way different than doing recorded television. And once I started seeing that she didn't really have the strategy, I told her, I'm like, okay, you need to book some time with me, because we got to get you together. So we spent, she booked time with me, and we spent about 4 hours together. Her very next interview was with for Fox and Friends. And I totally changed the game. I totally crafted her segment around her movement is I will earn more. And when she came to me, she came to me with I can earn more. So the first thing I did was I changed that to make it more media friendly, to be more impactful for the audience. And I changed it to I will earn more. And then I crafted her segment around earn, E-A-R-N. Well, Steve, do you not know that soon as she finished Fox and Friends, she had another request for an interview for 24 hours later, and she told me that in the course of 3 days of her doing interviews, she had 5,000 people opting into her list. So that's where I figured out this is what really, you know, this is my sweet spot. I know I teach my students and my clients how to actually have an impactful 3 to 5 minutes while they're being on air.
So what level does a person need to be at before they should consider working with you? Can they do it right just out of the gate and not make all the mistakes that all the rest of us made? Or do they
I would encourage them to at least have, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a book. If you have a book, that's great. I can work with that. But if you don't have a book, then I need you to have some kind of knowledge about who you want to be in the market. And so the first question I would ask, okay, what is your dream show? So if you tell me your dream show is Good Morning America, then I would tell you to finish this sentence then. If Robin Roberts is saying, coming up after the break, we have Steve Kidd today in studio, and he's going to teach us how to. Then for those of you who are interested, even, you know, playing and coming to play with me, then I would need you to have some kind of idea. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you to know what it is you want to do. What is your lane of expertise? What problem do you solve for the viewers? And I wrote a mini ebook that can be found at my website, iSeeMeOnTV.com. You say a little ring to it, iSeeMeOnTV.com. But it walks you through kind of the stages of where you need to be to have the most impact. Because if you don't have your back end systems in place, so once you do the interview, what is it that you're going to do next? You know, when you get that viewer from the TV screen to your site, what is the plan for you to do next? So when you want to work with me, just consider those kind of things of when you ask yourself, are you ready? If you don't really have that kind of thought out, it doesn't necessarily have to be implemented, but you need to have a kind of a good idea of what that could possibly look like.
And that's
iSeeMeOnTV.com. So I see as an SEE, me on TV.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope a lot of people will check that out. So before we let you go, we like to make sure.
Is it already time to let me go?
Can you believe that, you know, the hour, in fact, actually, for those of you that don't know, I am pre-recording this. See, total honesty. by the time I edit in commercials, I will probably leave out one to two commercial spots because we've got that much content that we can use.
Okay, so then can I tell them something that's important that I don't want you to cut out, Steve? You can't cut this, okay?
Oh, no. In fact, I want you to. I want to make sure that okay. We leave them with some specific things that they can do, you know, right now.
Okay. So if you're an author, you know, a lot of times, you know, people have, you know, radio interviews and things like that are easier. Radio interviews, I'll be very honest with you, radio interviews are easier to book than television. So with an author, you know, if you have a radio interview and you figured out how to get your radio interview or someone has approached you, no matter what the medium of media, you always show up with spunk. And spunk is an acronym. S, sparkle, meaning my personality, even though it's radio, you can hear how happy I am. You can hear why they call me the walking exclamation point. You can tell that I love what I do. So no matter if it's a radio interview or even if it's an interview that is for print, let the interviewer know that your personality sparkles, because that's going to set you up for coming back and being invited back. No one wants a dud. So make sure you show up to sparkle with your personality. P, passion. You have never talked to me on the phone, Steve. However, you can tell, if nothing else, I am passionate about the Media Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? I am clearly passionate about that. So whatever your subject matter is, make sure you show up with the passion of it. You understand it's a partnership. This is a give and take between me and Steve. It is his platform that he has invited me to play on. So I understand that he and I are he's the conduit for me serving you, the entrepreneur, on how to actually get booked in media. So make sure when you show up, be a gracious guest with the understanding it's a partnership. In nuggets of knowledge. That is, an interview is not the time, especially a television interview. You can't tell everything you know. You have to do what I call drill down your genius. Meaning, I got 20 years of expertise in television. I've got only 45 minutes with Steve. I can only give you nuggets of my knowledge, but enough nuggets that it gets the viewer interested enough to go from the interview to your website. And K, knowing. Have a knowing that you are the expert and you earn the right to be there. Now, I always tell people, I earn the right to speak about media. I am a beast in the media lane. I make no apologies about that. However, you put me in the kitchen, we're going to have a problem because I don't know how to cook. But whatever the reason, whether you were invited to the interview or you pitched the producers and got booked, own that space knowing you have earned the right to be there. So that's spunk, S-P-U-N-K. And again, you can find that at icmeontv.com to walk you through it. But show up every single interview, whether it's radio, television, or film. Show up film. I'm so used to TV and film. Radio, TV, or print, Periscope, you know, social media. Show up with spunk.
Yeah, I mean, if you come to an interview and you are not interesting to listen to, it makes it really tough. Whereas if you're somebody that's fun to have on as a guest, what the interviewer is thinking is, I wonder how soon I could have this person back on. Would next week be too soon?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how you want to feel. You want the interview to flow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, TJ, I really appreciate taking the time. Sometimes the show really does just need to be 3 or 4 hours because I just need to have those kind of conversations with people.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been fun. Thank you for allowing me to come play, Steve. It's really my honor, and I tell people every day on my Periscope, and I Periscope Media Tips weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, and I tell them all the time, without them being there, I get to do what I get to do because they show up. So thank you for, giving me this time and sharing your platform. Because, selfishly, it's what I love to do, so I have a good time doing it. It doesn't feel like work to me. So thank you. I appreciate it.
And I would encourage everybody, I think that may be one of the biggest nuggets that TJ brought today, is do something that you're so passionate about that the fact that you get paid for it is the bonus.
You making out like a bandit. It's like, you won't pay me for this? Really? I just told you that the other day, to keep looking for that thing that when you think about it, you go, wow, you won't actually pay me to do this? Okay, that's kind of cool.
I mean, it would be like when you're a kid, if your mom said, I'd like you to eat these cookies, and then when you're done, I'm also going to give you money for it.
Yeah. I love that analogy. I love that.
I remind everybody, like I do every week, remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. And I want you to know that Kathy and I and all of our great guests are here for you every week so that you can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people? Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.